Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, tonight's Medrash is a complex Medrash. We're going to work our way through. It's really a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara says as follows, based on, we have this week the Aseret HaDibros, including Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan says, Mishum Rabbi Yossi in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Kol HaMa'aneges HaShabbos, anyone who derives pleasure, gives oneg to Shabbos, Noisnin lo nachalo b'li mitzarim, will receive, because he's ma'anegas haShabbos, because he provides pleasure or takes pleasure through his oneg Shabbos, he will receive a nachalo, an inheritance, b'li mitzarim, without borders. Where, says the Gemara, is the connection between the pleasure that one has on Shabbos and receiving an inheritance that has no borders? Because the pasuk says, "Az tis'anagal Hashem," you will actually enjoy or delight in Hashem. Virkafticha b'masei aretz v'chalticha nachlas Yaakov avicha. So the pasuk of this, for those of you who say the long version of the Kiddush on Shabbos day, longer than the version already is. People start with Zachar Tema Shabbos and Shomer, but before that, if you look in your Bencher, there's another paragraph. Yeah, correct. And that pasuk, Az tis'anag al Hashem, quoting this pasuk from Yishayo, you will delight in Hashem, and in the delighting of in Hashem, you will eat from a nachala of Yaakov Avinu. Says the Medrash, why does the pasuk connect the oneg of Shabbos with the nachala of Yaakov? Because it's not like Avraham or Yitzchak who received specific boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. All three of the avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, receive the bracha that they'll receive Eretz Yisrael. But Avraham's bracha is a bounded set of land from this point to that point and from here to there. Yitzchak similarly gets a specific piece of land, and Yaakov gets ufaratzta yama v'kedma v'tzafona v'negva. You'll spread out into all directions. So says the Gemara, Yaakov's nachala is not limited. Yaakov's nachala is, as the Gemara says elsewhere, wherever you conquer, you will be able to have. Meaning, Yitzchak and Avraham are given a specific bag. This will be the Kiddush of Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov is given a bracha. Wherever your children conquer, you can include that into Eretz Yisrael. It's a boundaryless bracha of the land of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara connects, if you're responding, Allah says, you delight in Shabbos, he who delights in Shabbos will receive that inheritance of like Yaakov, which has no end. That's the message for tonight. We should hear, we'll try to understand the connection. And receiving Yaakov, specifically his nachala, which is a nachala that does not have any boundaries. So the Shashiva starts by understanding, first of all, when we talk about a nachala, we talk about a boundary. Chazal understand that part of the piece of land that a person lives on, it has a specific avoda associated with it. It's not just a... Different nations were given specific pieces of land. Gemara says this land will produce strong people, this land will produce weak people. The Gemara that says that a bas kol goes out before a child is born and says bas ploni leploni, that this person will marry that person. So everyone likes to quote that part of the Gemara. But before that, the Gemara says, and the same bas kol also says usada leploni, usada and base ploni leploni. Your house and your field are also determined. The same baskel that says who the shidduch is going to be also says where the house and the field, because where a person's land is part of what his goal, what his mission, what his tafkid in life is also part of that. Therefore, Avraham's boundary being limited says something about the avoda of Avraham, which is of course chesed. Yitzchak's boundary being limited says something about what Yitzchak's specific avoda is. And Yaakov's avoda, Yaakov, he doesn't have a boundary. He doesn't have any limit in the land that he will occupy. If you have to choose, which one is more damaging? Person who... yes. Number 10.
Man on the team. Exactly
what I'm saying. Yes. Yeah, John, we'll give you some John. So which one is more damaging? Or what is the possible damage? A person who loves too much or fears too much? There are two types of avodah. We have ahava, we have yira. We, of course, can talk about it in the realm of...
drafting a lipish or a chassidish person.
So what are the dangers of both? Even within that, in other words, which is fine to say, like, okay, the Hasidish person, let me take a guess, he's probably Ahava. Right? So, what's the danger of serving Hashem with too much love? And what's the danger of serving with too much fear?
Too much love, you might do more. You might do things you're not supposed to because you lose track of where you are. Fear.
Probably just about anything.
Get too focused on maybe the small things, the small details.
You get too focused on, the rules and not the greater picture.
You can always justify anything out of love.
Right, which is what Michael said, but if you love so much, so everything is justified because, I know, but I'm doing this because I love whatever it be, if we're talking in the room of Hashem, or just because of in any relationship that you're in, if you claim, or even if you really have too much love, you can end up doing something wrong, and then you'll just justify it because it's really all okay because I love so much. And fear, what do we start with? You said, Avi, you'll end up focusing on little things.
You're just going to lose sight of the big picture.
You lose sight of the big picture.
The fact that you're doing this for a purpose, and it's not simply all rules and regulations.
What's the goal?
Yeah, in any relationship.
In a relationship, you fear you're being too careful that you lose sight of what it's all about. You lose sight of it from both sides, but at least on the fear side, you're probably less likely to transgress, whereas the love side may be more likely. Mm-hmm.
You're less likely to transgress on the Yura side, but you're not transgressing for what reason? I mean,
You're missing the point.
And you have to understand that you're doing it because, God commanded us to, and we're His people and everything like that, not simply because we're commanded to. And it's just, this is what we need to do all the time.
So the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, in Maseches Sota says that this idea, asei me ahava, asei me yir, you have to do both. You have to be serving out of love and out of fear. And the Yerushalmi says as follows, because if you only do from Yira, if you're only focused on your Yira, on your fear, on making sure that you don't do anything wrong, that everything is right, Ba'os Livot, you're going to come to be disgusted, to kick, to rebel.
That's
true. So, I'm sorry, I said it backwards. Sorry, the other way around. I apologize. At a Yira, you come to hate. In Ba'lisna, you're going to come to hate. When you're doing things out of Yira, out of fear, out of that pressure, the constant concern that you're going to do something wrong, and you're going to face the punishment and the consequences of that, eventually, emotionally, you rebel against that. You begin to despise, to hate, to resent the force that's causing that. Because if you're serving out of fear, what is it to serve out of fear? You're afraid I'm going to mess up. I'm afraid I'm going to do something wrong. I don't want to be punished. I don't want the consequences. I don't want the result of whatever it is that's going to happen. When you live out of that fear, you begin to resent. You'll begin to hate the source of what it is that you're afraid of. So the Yerushalmi says that's why you have to balance that with ahava. But if all you have is ahava, so when you get too close to something out of love, you lose the reverence. You see this often when anytime you have a car, the first time you meet, whether it's even a Rebbe, it's a Rosh Hashiva, or a sports figure, or anyone in power, anyone who's a person of stature, the first time you see them, you meet them, there's a certain, even though you love them, you're so excited to meet them, but there's a reverence. And then as you get to know them more and more and more and more, that you totally lose that, to the point where you would speak to that person in a way that you wouldn't have imagined speaking to them before. You see that in even in any yeshiva setting with the Rosh Hashiva, as people begin to develop a relationship, in the beginning where they're very careful in the way that they speak, and then as things get closer, things loosen up. You become a little bit more buddy-buddy as the relationship goes on. Says Yerushalmi, if you only serve me'ahava, if there's nothing to balance the love, so then you begin to be boit. You begin to rebel in a way of you're no longer in awe and reverence because you're too close. So then you need the yira. And the balance that's created between ahava and yira is if there's only year, if you're only afraid, you begin to resent the source that's causing you to be afraid. And if you only have av, well, you get too close. You lose the reverence. And therefore, there has to be both. That concept of having both is the concept of midot. I'll say it like this. Why do Chazal call our behavior midot? It's an interesting word that they use.
Because, you know, something like emet, for instance, isn't always good in every single, I guess, happenstance. You know, it's, it could go either way. You know, if you were a Polish person hiding a Jew in World War II, and the Germans came knocking on the door, telling emet, which, you know, could be a good thing, it's not obviously a good thing in that case. So it's a measurement. That's what I think midot.
Right, so, and all of our midos, in terms of even of chesed, kindness, all of the way that we behave, it's always about Chazal telling us knowing the right measure as to when it applies and how much it applies. And it's a spectrum. There's always a spectrum of to when to do things and how much to do things, and therefore they call things midos. The midah of Avraham is chesed. Too much chesed, it can also be destructive. You become, if you want to use modern psychological terms, you become enabling, you become enmeshed. There are all sorts of terms that happen when there's...
dependence on
you. Right. You become one. In other words, if I'm constantly giving, you see this in parents being overprotective of children. They don't allow the child to actually, like, give me some... You just, sometimes you wish you could speak on behalf of the child, like, chill out, give me some space. Like, I know how to play by myself. I'll be okay. You could be hovering over. You see it in a relationship, in all types of relationships, in terms of in a marriage and at work. There can be too much giving, and too much giving is like, you know, we find, for those of us who've been in Atlanta long enough, New Yorkers experience this when they show up to shul and 30 people ask them if they have a place to eat for Shabbos. They're like, just like stay away. Like really, like that's like enough. Like I need my space. Like stop asking me. They're like, but I just want to like. I just want to be nice, like too nice. Like everyone has their threshold of what's considered too nice, and when you cross that threshold, it's actually very uncomfortable.
Which is interesting that somebody that's never had their space in general,
right? All of a sudden, exactly. You can't ask questions on New York, because you just can't ask. But that's
a championship. It's a
trophy. That's the problem. They're trying to make so many trophies.
Yes, I. That's too much chesed. So the midah of Avram, the midah of chesed, has to be in a midah also. There has to be a place in which it's inappropriate to have too much chesed. You take an example of somebody where somebody needs help. Somebody is sick. You know, you would say with let's take alcoholism. So is it? So you say, well, I want to give the person a drink. Like I feel like that's not chesed. It's not chesed to provide somebody which will just cause them, which is an illness, even though the act is the same act of chesed that would have been considered an act of chesed on a Thursday night in someone else's house, like here, welcome, have a drink. If you give it to somebody who's alcoholic, that's not a chesed. So the concept of chesed is a midah. You have to know time and place, and it has to be appropriate. It just, there's no other way around that. As is the midah of Yitzchak, which is the midah of Gevura, which is Yira. Too much Yira is completely inhibiting. I can't move.
Gevura is associated with
Yira. Yeah. In terms of Yira is fear, and the Gevura is holding back because of the fear that you have of messing up. So I'm willing to contain myself and control myself because I don't want to do something wrong. Exactly. Rather than Chesed Avram. And the pachad Yitzchak, the fear of Yitzchak, that's also crippling, which we also see in communities where someone is so. I see it like, and I'm like, I get phone calls about everything because the person on the other end of the phone is so afraid of doing something wrong they can't make a move. Like, Shalom, I know you called me all day long. Like, should I watch like my television on my phone or on the screen? Like, I don't know what to do. It's like too many different gadgets. Which one should I look at?
Should I watch?
So I can't move. They're so afraid of messing up that they won't even allow themselves to trust their own knowledge, which they have, and they're capable of making decisions, but they're inhibited because the consequences. Don't you know what will happen if I get this wrong? Like, yeah, don't worry about it. Like, they can't. It's so now, and that's there's OCD issues, and then there's just a fear issue. I'm afraid. I'm concerned, and they come with a. So there's also a midah, and then you begin to resent because I can't move because I'm so afraid of everything. So just like the midah of chesed has to be, you have to know when, you have to know how. You have to know if you're not being helpful by offering a person a hand, and you have to know when it is appropriate to offer somebody a hand. The midah of yira, of gevura, also is appropriate. It's a great midah. It's the midah of Yitzchak, and it has to be in measure. Both Avram and Yitzchak, because they represent the extremes, their children, they have children who would be what we would call the psolas, the refuse, the bad parts. Avram has a Yishmael, Yitzchak has a Esav. Yaakov's midah of emes, titein emes Yaakov, is the midah of tiferes, of glory, is the synthesis of the two midahs of Avram and of Yitzchak, of chesed and of yira, and finding the balance, the natural balance of knowing how they both work together. That's the midah of Yaakov. That's why Yaakov has 12 children. They're all tzaddikim. There is no psolus. There's no waste, so to speak, because it's not. His midah is the midah of synthesizing the two elements of chesed, of kindness, of gvura, of fear, and producing what we would call tiferet, as the Sfarim call Yaakov, the midah of being of beauty, of grandeur, of that synthesis of those two midas together. That's the midas particular of Yaakov, which is why Avraham's border of Eretz Yisrael is bounded. There's a border. He's given this specific because his midas chesed, and chesed is limited. Yitzchak, where he's given the promise of Eretz Yisrael, is also limited. But Yaakov's border, u'farat stoyamo v'tzafona v'net, you're just gonna, you'll burst out because you're not limited by anything, because the midah of not having to deal with this, you are the combination of knowing how to handle that, allows for Yaakov to have a borderless border of Eretz Yisrael. What does it have to do with Shabbos? So Shabbos, as you know, has two mitzvahs, Shamor and Zachor, which are said b'dibur echad. So what does Shamor represent? So Shomer are all the losases, the prohibitions of Shabbos. Guard my Shabbos. You can't do all the can't-dos on Shabbos. And Zohar are the ases, all the positive mitzvahs of Shabbos. Making Kiddush. So the Ramban writes on Zohar for Shomer how the mitzvahs ases represent Ahava. The positive mitzvahs we have in the Torah, all 248, are I do things. I do things because I love someone. When you love someone, the midah is to go up physically, actively, and do something. All of the mitzvahs asays represent ahav. The Ramban writes, and the los asays, the 365, I refrain from an action, are from the midah of yira. And we have in the Torah two parts, different days, different parts of the different days, different parts of the calendars, call for different elements of the mitzvah. Sometimes we're using the midah of ahava. We get up in the morning to daven with a minyan, with our talis and our tefillin, or they're all asays, getting up to do something. It's an element or an expression of ahava. Not eating certain foods, doing certain things, those are all expressions of I just won't eat it. Why not? I can't. That's a midah of, I hold myself back as an element of yira. Sometimes in life we're focusing on ahava, sometimes we're focusing on yira. Shabbos has the element of b'dibur echa, the two come together, where they're synonymous. There's a synthesis specifically on Shabbos of at the same time.
And the existence of Shabbos is you're not doing as well as doing because it's just the net nature of the day.
Like, why is it?
And is it the fact that just being on Shabbos is the nature of Shabbos, or specifically making the Kiddush is the Shamor, or is it because you're not working, not because you're actively saying, I'm not working this second, but just the nature of not working, the nature of honoring the Shabbos, that in itself is both of them at the same time?
So it's, I would... In terms of how we do it is a good question. The way the Maharal expresses that is in the sense of why did it have to be b'dibur echad? But let's say, what if the Torah would have said in the Saras HaDibros, Zachor Vishamor Et Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh. So I said both. I want you to be to watch, to guard it, and to sanctify it. But what would be missing if both Aseret HaDibros would have said Zachor Vishamor instead of having Zachor in one and Shamor in the other? Put them both in both.
It wouldn't be balanced. It would be. You would go up and down and up and down.
So it says well because right and it, because it, the Torah is telling you by saying b'dibur echad, you can't even say the words zohar and then shamor or shamor and then zohar. It has to be in an environment of no malacha. Then you can be mekadesh Shabbos. Meaning, if you would have, you know, the radio on the television and you're doing malacha and you make kiddush in the midst of that, that kiddush wouldn't sanctify the day. There has to be an environment of no malacha. In that environment, you can come in and be mekadesh. If you're mekadesh without that environment, it won't work. And if you sleep the whole day, but you're not making kiddush, it's also not Shabbos, even though you're not doing any malacha. And they have to come together. They're two sides of a coin that create the environment of Shabbos. The Rosh Hashiva writes, the whole week long, there's a struggle that a human being, a Jew, has between his guf and his neshama, between the guf, which wants to enjoy all the good physical pleasures of the world, and the neshama, which is not interested in those things and is interested in spiritual pursuits. And you know, it's a battle. Most of us generally are much more focused on the feelings of our guf than on our neshama. But the reality is, there's that struggle between those two. On Shabbos, there's a neshama yisera, an extra soul. What does the extra soul mean? So Rashi in Maseches Beis says a fascinating thing about what the Neshama Yisera is. The Neshama Yisera, Rashi says, is Rochev Lev Limenucho L'Simcha, an expansion of the heart, so to speak, for rest and for pleasure. V'yochal V'yishte V'einafsho Katalev, and you can eat and you can drink, and your nefesh is not disgusted by that. Usually when we eat and drink, so the body is taking pleasure, and the soul, like, what are you wasting this time with all of this food? I get that you have like such limited time in this world. What are you busy with the food? Get to work on that which matters. So there's that struggle. The soul is not pleased the week, whole week long, with the food and eating and drinking business. And on Shabbos, the Neshama Yisera allows the synthesis of you can eat on Shabbos, and the soul doesn't mind the eating on Shabbos. You can do both at the same time. I'm sure that's true, yeah. I'm sure. I never actually experimented to see if that's true, but I know that everybody says that, so I'm sure if everybody says it, it must be true. So that on Shabbos we have the combination of Zachor v'shomor v'dibur echad. We have the losaseis and aseis, the av and the yira come together. And the same synthesis of the guf and the neshama, the guf which usually can't tolerate the food, the soul, which usually is not interested in the food, but on Shabbos those come together. There's no disharmony, there's no conflict between the two, specifically on Shabbos. So that the Gemara on Shabbos, Masechta Shabbos, says, if you're misaneg al HaShabbos, he who delights in Shabbos receives the nachala, the inheritance of Yaakov. Yaakov, who takes the midah of Avram and Yitzchak, of chesed and of gvur, of kindness and of fear, and combines the two into the midah of emes, or of tiferes, of this glory, of the truth, this combination of the two. So someone who delights in Shabbos recognizes that he's going to delight, he's going to have a meal, it's going to be a physical day, with not like Yom Kippur. He delights in Shabbos, recognizing that he has a neshama. You said that there's this combination of his avon, his yira, his zachar and shamar coming together. Person who's able to combine that, who senses that, who lives Shabbos that way. So his nachala, his inheritance, is that of Yaakov. That same inheritance which has no boundaries, it's no borders. You just expand beyond, because you're not limited by the midah of having to restrict or confine the midah of Avram, of Chesed, or of Gevura. So one who delights in Shabbos and combines those two factors, therefore, says the Gemara, will specifically have the inheritance of the Yaakov, which is without borders because of his synthesis of those two concepts as well. So says the Rosh Yeshiva.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.